Primetime with Isaac and Souk.
Son, your ego is writing checks your body can't cash.
Isaac Ropp.
You've been busted. You lost your qualifications as section leader 3 times.
Jason Sukanik.
You're lucky to be here. Your family name ain't the best in the Navy. I'd like to bust your butt, but I can't. I got another problem here.
Primetime with Isaac and Souk. This sounds very serious. They are not.
I gotta give you your dream shot. I'm gonna send you up against the best. You two characters are going to...
Primetime on the Fan Sports Network, 105.1 and 1080.
You guys are number one.
The Fan.
Hey, what'd it do?
Ahoy!
Good Friday, what's up?
Sorry, I had a little Peter
what
Brady.
What happened to you?
A little Peter Brady moment there.
Too much drinking last night? I know that voice.
When it's time to... Of course not. Me? Never. Actually, I didn't have anything to drink. I don't know where that... I think I had a toffee. There was like a... Someone put like a toffee square back in the break room.
There's a lot of candy back there.
And I had one of those, and I think it that toffee's not right sitting right.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You need to focus. Friday.
See what I can do.
Yeah. We need your voice.
It's the first real true football Friday. Yeah.
I'm still trying to train my pea brain that we have NFL tonight.
Mm-hmm.
On
I know.
Friday night.
From Brazil.
Yeah. I don't know. I should be more excited than I am.
Well, yesterday we had Thursday night football that wasn't Thursday night football. We had normal football that was on Thursday, not to be confused with Amazon Thursday.
They're confusing
football.
Us. Remember back in the day when they used to say, oh, Friday night is sacred. They're never going to play on Friday night because Friday night lights.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, well, the Chiefs and Chargers aren't even in the country and they're playing.
That's true. Well, and you can only do it like...
There are rules.
So there's only a small window you can do it at the beginning of the year. And believe me, when that window's open, the NFL takes it.
They did.
Yes.
They did.
Yes.
Chiefs, Chargers.
I mean, no offense, but to Clackamas and whoever the hell they're playing, you give them my choice between Clackamas and, I don't know, South Salem. And then you give me the Chiefs in Brazil against the Chargers.
A little more interesting to you?
Slightly more interesting.
Like Clackamas will. They're already 0-1.
Oh,
so this is a big game.
This is huge
tonight against Ida B. Wells,
which used to be
Wilson. I think.
Yeah, I think. Yeah. Okay, sure. Let's go with that. I have not. Let's play the fun game. When's the last time you went to a high school? Anything?
Well, high school graduation.
Okay. Well, high school sporting event.
Ooh.
Ah, it's been a bit for me.
Does the girls' volleyball match last week count?
Yeah, that would count.
Yeah. No. I don't know. I think I went to a few of Meatball's football games and baseball games.
Yeah.
Of course, 2004.
He blew out his...
2004 is the last time I went to one.
Really?
Yeah.
And you know this.
I watched my brother play freshman football, and that was the last time I would have been back for one of his games, because I was in college otherwise, and I've never been to another high school sporting event since.
Yeah, I just...
Right. I'll say 2017 or 18.
Yeah. I mean, because, one, we're off the air at 7, so that kind of takes away some of it, but even if you weren't, I'm guessing you're not frequenting high school events.
Why would you?
Well, I mean, some people love that. Like Friday night lights for some towns, like cities, it's a big deal. I don't know about like here, but some communities, I know like Camas, like that's a big deal. Like everyone in Camas gets all fired up for football, whether they have a kid there or not. It's like that whole, and it's usually a small community sort of thing. I don't think anyone's, any of the Portland schools were all rallying.
Well, my hometown was like that.
Yeah. I could see that. Slant of Kansas.
Yeah. Yeah. But the only time I lived there was when I was in high school. So, of course, I was at the game.
Yeah. When I lived in Le Center, that was a thing. Like, Le Center football, which is a little 1A, that the town kind of shut down. Like, everyone from Le Center went to the football game because what else were you doing? You either were going to one of the casinos or you were going to the football game.
Ooh, probably gambling. Yeah. Yeah. That's what I'd be doing.
Yeah. The gambling, you had one bar and then you had the... you had the Friday night lights, even though we didn't have lights. So we didn't really have Friday night. It was more of a Friday mid-afternoon sort of thing. But I think they have lights now.
Well, happy football Friday, everybody.
Yes.
We're here for you.
Yes.
Big Joey's coming on again today. No, mine's cracked.
See, you caught it.
Did I have toffee or taffy? Did you say toffee?
No, it's toffee.
Toffee?
A little toffee square.
Laffy taffy?
It's possible there's something in the air. Who knows? Maybe we're just choking on all of the hot football Ryan Clark takes we'll be delivering.
Do you think that, wait, what? Ryan Clark? What?
Well, he's just captain of the hot take now. He's becoming the new douchey. Yeah. He's the douchiest guy in media, and that's saying something.
Oh, wow. That is saying something.
That's a bold claim, but if he's going to make bold statements, I would like to make bold statements too.
He's working for it.
And Ryan Clark, I do believe, who I used to like, is officially, right now, the douchiest man in sports media.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you think that we're feeling... Do you think it feels like, at least today, because it's not sunny out now, mm-hmm. but did you think today felt a little bit like fall?
A little bit, yeah.
With the rain and everything?
Yeah, it kind of caught me off guard. But it was still... I still saw that it was going to be like 85.
Oh, hell yeah.
So...
Yeah, it's warm.
Yeah. And it's just muggy, too. And that's not fall.
I know.
I can't be sweating my ass off.
Well, it felt a little bit like I considered a sweatshirt.
Really?
I considered it. Wow. But then I went outside. I'm like, whoa, it's way too warm for that.
Yeah.
But my wife proclaimed, oh, fall's here. Summer's over.
No.
I'm like... That's because have you looked at the weather?
Solo.
She wants to change up the candles. She can't, the fall candles cannot be pulled out until it feels like fall. And so she tried to corkscrew today into being fall, and it's just not.
No.
I said, look at the forecast. It's going to be like 80 next week.
Put the brown knee-high boots away, lady. It's going to be a couple more weeks. Yeah, I wore like a long sleeve dry fit t-shirt today to walk the dog because I thought it was a little chilly. Dude, I ended up sweating my ass off. I was like, what did I just do? And that was just a little t-shirt that I was wearing. Far too hot. It was like being in the South. Felt like I was in Louisiana.
Hey, Joel Klatt has his own show now on FS1, apparently.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah? Did you know that?
He has a podcast. I can't say.
Well, I think that's what this is.
Oh, and they just put it
on. See, shows are now, podcasts are now shows.
Yeah.
And you're supposed to like make it look like it, because it's cheap, right? Like you can just film the podcast. Put a couple lights and a cool-looking microphone in there, and it looks like a TV show, even though he's just doing a podcast.
I don't even think he's in the studio, by the way. It's
like you and I.
I think that's just a weird background.
I just always thought... I didn't know he did his own thing. I thought he was like...
No, I've listened to his pod from time to time, so I think that you're right. They just stuck the pod on TV, and away you go.
Why do you think that personalities such as Joel Klatt, Ryan Clark, there's a myriad of them.
Yeah.
Why do you think that they wear so thin on us after a couple of years?
Well, I think...
Even Herb Street has a little bit of this now.
Well,
people aren't liking him anymore.
I think when you're in that sphere and you start making so much money, I think you end up kind of bowing down to the powers that be and you start becoming, I think, what we all don't like. But what's odd is we can sit here and say that none of us like these hot take shtick kind of over the top, but that maybe we do like it. Maybe there's more people that like that because that's what ESPN keeps pushing out there. And so like you can get a guy like Dan Orlovsky or Ryan Clark that I really liked at the beginning and they just become more and more like radicalized where you end up with the same stupid hot take, just ridiculous things that they throw out there because I think that's what ESPN wants or Fox.
Yeah, but Klatt's like, he's a serious guy. Like, he's not all that hot takey, although he is with Fox Sports, so he kind of, anybody on Fox Sports kind of becomes
someone
that.
Someone said engagement farming, and I think and that's there's an element to that.
But I think a certain archetype does like that or falls for it. I think the smarter people don't. Yeah. And I hate to, that's a blanket statement, but I just, there's a lot of dum-dums.
Yeah. So. I wonder in those production meetings, like, there has to be a group of people around that are just like, this is what we're going to talk about. And Orlovsky and Clark, who are both smart guys. I just think at the beginning there's a pushback and then eventually it's just like, whatever. Okay. Like you just get worn down by it and you end up being Paul Feinbaum.
There's a whole nother level of,
I think you just start making so much money. I think Colin fell victim to this.
Paul Feinbaum is so popular. Like, I don't think there's like some of these guys, you see the talent.
Yeah.
I don't even see the talent in that guy. Like there's nothing.
He was just the first and he kind of embraced the,
he just capitalized. Now Colin is one of the smartest guys I know in radio. He is a smart dude.
Yes.
But he has succumbed to it, and I'm surprised by that.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, no one's immune.
There has to be something where eventually that's the call comes from inside the building, right? Like, I just think
it's an easy thing to do.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
It's like, it's not saying any of these people, the people that do this are dumb.
Mm-hmm.
They just are smart enough to know that that's what gets fish on hook.
And that's what I'm saying,
And it's just the easiest way to make money.
Yeah, eventually... you know, you get tired of someone saying, stop having rational discussion and this is what we're going to do. And you fight it and you fight it and you fight it. And then eventually you kind of start giving in. And before you know it, your bosses love it. And you look at the engagement farming and you've created some sort of big controversy with the dumbest thing you've ever said. And I don't think you have to work as hard because you can just be sticky and throw out ridiculous things. And then before you know it, you look up and someone's giving you a couple million bucks. Yes. And you're like, well, this is what we're doing.
This is what we're doing.
Yeah. And then you know you're a shell of yourself, but you also know that you've never been more popular and you know you've never had more money. It's like, you know, being an artist, right? And you come up and you write your own music and you're proud of it and you got something to say and, you know, and some label comes along and says, hey, we've got four people that are going to write your songs. We're going to produce the hell out of it. We're going to give you the brand new makeup. We're going to get you some fake up tops, or for a guy, we're going to get you some fake teeth. And we're going to get you in better shape, get you some abs. We're going to prepackage this. We're going to sell the hell out of you. And you're like, well, that's not really what I want. And then they're like, well, you're going to make $20 million this year. And you're like, well, okay. This is, you know, it's the same sort of thing. Integrity comes at a price. And most people end up having a price.
Mm. Well, then there's us.
Which is why we're still here.
Here we are.
Well, we've all known ladder climbers, right? And I'm not trying to throw shade at any.
Who do you think it's going to be, Buck?
We all know ladder climbers, and can we admit
Dusty, obviously.
That a lot of times the ladder climber isn't the most talented person, but they keep getting bigger markets, bigger jobs, and you kind of are like, huh? Because this is where I'll say Stephen A. or Ryan Clark or any of these other guys. I could not do what they do because I couldn't play the game. Like, they have to know what they're saying is total horse, you know what. But there is a skill to being able to play the game and be a parody and have your head up your ass. And the guys that do that often are the ones that reward it. It's the same thing in corporate America. How many times do you see some corporate sales guy that keeps climbing the ladder and everyone else thinks that guy's an absolute dip ass, but he knows how to kiss ass and be kind of smarmy, and he knows how to climb the ladder.
Okay.
So it's not always the best guy. It's just the guy that's willing to do what it takes. You know, Joy Taylor? I mean, come on.
And then there's us.
And then there's us.
Here we are. Back at it.
Yeah. You need to be more like Joy.
Again today. Oh, I'm willing to do some stuff.
Sleep with Dusty?
No. That already happened.
Well, and you got to get much
Saturday night.
She's not. You got to get much bigger than Dusty. You got to talk about like
Cooley.
No.
The new CEO of Odyssey's female.
There you go. You got to climb. You really got to start climbing.
What would that get me?
I don't know. Maybe that nice San Diego cush gig. Be doing this show from down in San Diego.
Yeah.
Look at you. Yeah.
Poo pooing it.
Yeah. I don't know. I need to retire. That's what I got my eye on.
Well, I'm working on it tomorrow.
Oh, you are? You're working on my retirement?
Yeah, tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You are.
Tomorrow.
When I got a lot my of ticket people. In my pocket.
Oh, you do?
Yep.
Give me the numbers right now.
When I win 1.7.
Well, we should have different numbers, so it gives us two chances of winning.
Did you pick your numbers?
You just want me to say them out loud right now? Okay, hold on.
Did you pick your own numbers, or did you...
Quick pick. By the numbers, quick pick a more frequent winner than picking your own.
Really?
Yes.
Oh. How do you know that?
Somebody ran the numbers at some point in time. People who play their own
numbers. People say it.
The random numbers just do better.
All right.
4, 22, 45, 53, 64, and the Powerball, 19.
Oh, hey, that's terrible.
19 is the best.
No. I'm glad I did this for you.
Dude, you got no chance.
Buckley, 19.
I know I have no chance. That's the whole point.
19's my favorite number, Buckley.
Is it?
Yeah.
19's a terrible number.
Hey, Steve Eisenman says, kiss my ass.
19.
Joe Thornton, too, for that matter.
19 is actually a really great hockey number.
It is.
Back in my roulette days, 19 never got played. That's how I'm judging that.
Oh. No. Like almost all of like, you know, when you have to do like your little, you know, you have to put a number behind your name on anything.
Sure.
You know, and you email it. Mine's always 19. This is Stevie Eisenman, man.
Joe Montana in Kansas City.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever. All right, guys.
Well, I, for one, am very happy that you went with number 19.
Well, I didn't it was given to me.
It was handed to him. Mm-hmm. He ain't going to win
with
that.
Which gives me a better chance.
You know what the Powerball number is going to be tomorrow?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
It's going to be 5. Just the Powerball number.
Oh, the Powerball number is going to be 5?
Yeah. George Bristow.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yep. Joey at 5:30, I think. Is that right?
Yes.
That's right.
We doing that?
For two big segments.
Doing that whole bit. We're going to talk to him about Mike Gundy today. I want to talk about Mike Gundy today.
Did you see he recreated the I'm a Man, I'm 40?
No.
He did it for a commercial. Buck, did you send me this?
Do we need
I don't think so. I don't think I've seen this.
Do we need the audio of this?
Yeah, I'll someone sent it to me. I'll see if I can send it to Buck. Yeah, he recreated a commercial.
Oh, nice.
And I'll send it along. But yeah, he leaned into it and did the I'm a Man, but I think I'm a 50 or whatever.
He's 58?
Yeah,
I'm a man!
It's a whole bit, and I forget what it might be for like a cell phone company. I'll find it.
All right. Well, I think Mike Gundy, while annoying and unlikable, is interesting.
Yeah, I can get that.
And so we're going to talk about him today, whether you like it or not, you son of a...
You like that?
But we're going to start with Eagles Cowboys.
You like that? You like that?
A few things to talk about from last night's NFL opener, and we will do that next on The Fan. Good game last night in Motown, Philly.
Was until the Lightning came.
Yeah, I hated that.
You say the fifth time in 35 years that, because they, I think it was 41 at the half, and the over on that game was 46 or 47 and a half, depending on where you got it.
Oh.
Only the fifth time in 35 years of tracking this that an under has hit when it's been within that point total at the half.
They were at 41 at the half.
Yes.
The over-under was 46.
46 and a half or 47 and a half, depending on where you
All
you
the
got
people
it.
Who had the over are going, God, I got this is in the bag.
It's cashed.
And it did not hit.
It did not.
God. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah. If you had the over, and a lot of people did, it was...
Because no one... So did anyone score in the second? It was 21-20. So there was only 3 points in the second half?
3 points in the second half.
Jeez.
And that was before the Lightning delay. So there was not a single punt the entire first half. It was either touchdowns or field goals every drive. And then they came out, and it was field goal first possession for the Eagles. And then the Cowboys drove all the way down inside the 20, fumbled. And then the Lightning hit, and not another point was scored after that. So even if you were sitting there, you saw the field goal, you're like, great. Point totals at 44, one more field goal, safe as kittens, and Lightning. Mm. And no one could stop anybody. And then they had that hour-plus delay, and they came out, and it just died.
It was a wild game.
Yeah.
It's the only game in the last 30 years to start with 8 straight scoring drives and end with 8 straight non-scoring drives.
It's just
so weird.
Yeah, you can't make that stuff up. That's like the baseball. Like whenever you say whenever you go to the ballpark, you'll see something you've never seen before. That was one of those last night in the NFL game.
Look, it's not saying much, but I thought it's as positive as one could feel about a loss. Don't you think?
If you're the Cowboys?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not saying much, but
well,
I mean...
Your defense is bad. You knew it was going to be bad.
But I think Schottenheimer in the... I mean, I know he was their OC last year, but I just mean... I just feel like the offense was much better. I thought Dak was slinging it.
Yeah.
They did a lot more motion, and the Eagles have a really good defense, so credit the Eagles, but I think the Cowboys, they're going to be all right.
Yeah, the only thing I'll say about Dak is if you want to get into the weeds, and again, everything's nitpicky, and it's week one, and I refuse to make sweeping judgments after 1 week. If you thought the Cowboys were ass, don't let this performance fool you into thinking they're not. And if you thought the Cowboys were going to be pretty good, this doesn't mean that you were 100% correct. But Dak, you know, for completing 20, was 21 to 34, but he only 188. I mean, that's 5 yards a catch. He didn't have a touchdown. And let's be honest, there was at least two.
A lot of drops out there.
Yeah, there was at least two interceptions that should have been picked.
Bottom line, they're ass.
And two others that could have been picked. Now, the CeeDee Lamb had two drops at the end that could have won him a game. So, and then... You didn't run the ball particularly well either. Javonte Williams, it was...
Well, the Eagles have a good defense.
The Eagles have a good defense.
The Eagles have one of the... At the end of the year, don't you think the Eagles will be a top five defense?
Yes.
I mean...
Yeah.
So, it wasn't easy out there.
No, Jalen Carter, though, was a big difference.
Yeah, that definitely hurt their defense. But I just thought Dak looked pretty good, and his receivers did him no favors, and CeeDee Lamb continues to be overrated. Yeah. And I think if Jalen Carter plays... Well... I don't know what happens if Jalen Carter plays, but the Cowboys could have won that game.
Yes,
they didn't,
easily.
But
well,
I just feel like
the fumble was a killer.
That was a big one, but I just feel like they shouldn't feel too bad. I mean, they want to win, but That I think a lot of people were like, oh, Dallas, you know,
yeah,
maybe we wrote them off too soon.
And they've got the
Giants, the Bears, the Jets, and the Panthers in four of their next five.
Yeah, and those are all winnable games.
Very much.
And we don't know what the Bears are going to be, but the rest of that should be a very manageable schedule. And, you know, we said this yesterday going in. Last year, just injuries. But the previous, I want to say the previous two, if not three seasons, that's a 12-win team. Dak is just, it's the most dishonest, him and Brock Purdy, we have the most dishonest discourse about who these guys are. Are they peak Aaron Rodgers? Are they Peyton Manning? No, Dak Prescott is a good quarterback. He's a really good one. And a couple years ago when he was healthy, he was top three in every statistical category. So it's funny to me that people are coming out and like were shocked that Dallas had a good offense and Dallas put up points. And I mean, they ended up scoring 20. They should have had at least three if Sanders doesn't. I think it was Miles Sanders, right, that fumbled that, if I'm not mistaken.
Don't remember.
That's right, it was Sanders.
Yeah, it was Sanders. So if Sanders doesn't fumble that, that's at least 23, if not 27. And, I mean, my God, the second one I'll give, that's a tough catch. The Dez Bryant on fourth down.
Oh, the diving one?
By the way, ballsy call.
Well, it's not Dez Bryant. That's CeeDee Lamb.
Or why did I say Dez Bryant?
I don't know why you said that.
It looked kind of like a Dez Bryant play.
Well, it's 88.
That's a
tough catch. So,
but the first one was
bad.
In his breadbasket.
I'll say both of those. When you're CeeDee Lamb and you're the third highest paid player, you have to make that catch.
Call him in, dude.
I'm not certain that I love the fourth and three or whatever it is. So let's
no, but that 50 yard skinny post has to get caught.
Yeah. You have to catch it. That
was a great throw.
It was. There's just no excuse around it. So even we can look at Dallas and say they put up 20. In reality, that probably should have been at least 28.
That's where variance comes in. Yes. I mean, one game, things like that happen. This is why gambling is hard, right? Yeah. It's like you just can't predict a lot of that stuff. CD will be better, hopefully. Yeah. Their defense probably won't.
Yeah.
They'll give up some points this year, but... I don't know.
And on the flip side of things, right?
Good little ball game.
Yeah, you can look at Dallas and say Dallas should feel okay about that loss.
I think they should.
And if you're Philly, you know, Philly, you can say, hey, you won a game, and this is kind of what Philly does. And this is why I think some people don't overly respect Philadelphia. A lot of these games, Philly didn't look great. I mean, you could say Jalen Hurts, again, 19-23. It was for a $1.52. And I think A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith... Like, A.J. Brown had one catch, and I want to say Smith had three. And by the way, they won that game, and A.J. Brown, fine, you one catch. If they lose that game, and I keep wanting to say Dez Bryant, if CeeDee Lamb makes that catch, and Dallas goes down and wins that game, should we play the fun game of what A.J. Brown is saying today? Because I promise you, he's not okay with one attempt for 8 yards.
Well, yeah, there were reports that there was a falling out between him and Hurts last season. So, like, that thing gets sparked up right away. He's reading his book on the sideline again.
Yeah, I just, you know, and Saquon Barkley, 18 carries for 60 yards. And I know, like, once Dickerson got hurt, it was, you know, his back tightened up. I'm just saying, Dallas, you can look at that and say, we feel better, we lost, okay. And if you're Philly... Yeah, you won, and that's all that matters. And this is what Philly does. They grind out games. But this isn't the performance you're going to look at Philadelphia and say everything is Razzleberry, Frogert, and Scones. And this goes back to the whole Jalen Hurts thing. Jalen Hurts is a really good quarterback. This passing attack and Jalen Hurts are not one of the better passing attacks in the NFL. And I promise you next week, A.J. Brown's going to get 72 targets because someone's going to get in Jalen Hurts' ear and be like, look, you got a big angry dude over there on the sidelines that you're going to need to feed the ball to, or this thing's going to go south in a hurry, even if you win.
All right, I have a couple of other notes from that game that we will get to next segment, including the tush push and spitting, but we've got to take a break.
Rats. Do we have more?
I just said we have more.
Oh, thank God.
I just said that. But we have to take a break.
Yeah.
Because the commercials. Mm. And such.
Yeah.
I'd also like to tell you what Steve Ballmer is saying.
I did see this.
Yeah. About the Clippers.
Steve's great.
Sitch. Yeah. Are you buying what Steve Ballmer is selling?
I was fooled.
So we will get to that coming up as well. But more on Eagles Cowboys. We'll wrap that up next. Here is Buck. Well, you know, a lot of people are saying.
What do we got?
Dax spat first.
He did spit first.
Did
but
you see that?
If I spit on the ground and then you spit on me, those are two different things.
I don't know. No. A lot of people are saying.
So spitting on the ground is the same as spitting at someone?
A lot of people.
People are dumb.
He baited him.
Well, he baited him, and Dax
Which
says
is smart.
Dax said he's just a spitter.
Yeah,
and by the way, there is now videos going on. He does spit a lot.
Yeah, he spit. If you didn't see the video, the view behind Carter looks like Dak is spitting at Carter, kind of, but he's not.
No,
he's just spitting on the ground, and he even said Dak talked about it, and he said he's trying not to spit on his lineman.
Yeah. And it's nowhere near. I mean, there's
a lot of space.
There's like 5 yards.
But it
between.
Doesn't look that way no. when you see the behind Carter view.
Well, and it didn't help, too, that the like slow-mo afterwards is Dak like smiling and winking and nodding at Carter.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, come and get some, big boy.
Well, after he spits, he does do that to Carter.
Which makes it seem like, oh, he was spitting at him. Yeah. But
well,
no,
I mean,
he still
you
wasn't.
You can spit on the ground, and then they got into a little friendly kind of FU, and they went face-to-face. But how dumb do you have to be 6 seconds into the game when your guy's getting carted off with their fullback, Vander, not going to play. He had a torn tendon in his knee. Just that is literally one of the dumbest things I've ever seen on a football field in my 47 years on the planet. And that's saying something, because I've seen a lot of dumb things. I mean, I like, you know, sometimes in the heat of battle, there's a bad tackle or you get caught up, like caught up in a moment. It was that Andre Girard stomping on people or Ndamukong Suh. Dude, the game, you hadn't taken a snap. You were just standing there waiting for your teammate to get meat wagoned off, and you decide to spit on someone? How much of a dumbass can you be?
Well, the same kind of dumbass that gets people killed in high-speed accidents.
I guess. And look, he's still...
Yeah, he's a bonehead.
He's still one of the best defensive linemen in the NFL, probably a top 2 or 3 defensive tackle. And so, you know, Sirianni even said, he goes, a discipline will be kept in-house. I don't know if he gets suspended for the NFL. I don't think he will, it sounds like. I mean, I thought Romanowski got suspended for the J.J. Stokes one. He didn't. He just got fined. And that was in his face. So I'm guessing there'll be a nice fine. He won't be suspended. I'm guessing Philadelphia doesn't suspend him for any time either. You're not suspending your best defensive player.
Maybe he issues a public apology.
Yeah, live and learn, and you kind of move on. But and you won the game, so no harm, no foul. But when you were getting carved up there, and that was a back-and-forth game, dude, you just got to feel like a stooge if you end up losing that game if you're Jalen Carter. And they were already down, I think, 2 defensive tackles, and they said Jordan Davis and the other guy both ended up playing 85% of the snaps, and that is not something that Philadelphia does. They're lucky that in the fourth quarter, Dallas really couldn't take advantage of that. Because when you get tired defensive tackles like that, you should be able to run the ball.
The other thing about the Eagles, I saw an aerial view right over the center of the tush push.
Yeah.
Are they pushing the limits on lining, on how they line up for the tush push?
How so?
Well, it looked to me like the center was over the ball.
Yeah.
Which I don't think is legal.
You cannot do.
If you look, have you seen the aerial of it?
It got a lot of kind of viral attention from like football heads who are saying like, and look at the guards, their heads are in the neutral zone.
The
like,
guards,
and so there's one photo that's kind of going viral
so
about
there's,
it.
There's two things: the guards' helmets are in the neutral zone. The guards are lined up in the neutral zone, and the center is allowed to move way over the football.
Yeah,
which is not.
No, you cannot do that.
I mean, both of those things should be called.
Yeah, So
why are they allowed to do that?
When I played center, some centers tend to be more over the ball. Others like their hand out a lot further. There's usually a lot of grace in that. And if you're doing it, the ref, the line judge will usually come over and tell you, like, hey, back it up. That's just something that doesn't get called, like, hardly ever. Or otherwise, like I said, they will give you a warning. I'm guessing if this becomes a thing, and I've yet to see the aerial of it, I'm trying to find it. If it is, I'm sure people will start submitting this to the league, because already there's a lot of tension around the tush push. So if guards are lining up in the neutral zone and the center's over the ball, I'm guessing that is something that'll be addressed. But a lot of times in these goal line situations, again, letter of the law versus spirit of the law, go watch some goal line situations. The neutral zone kind of goes away. Like, defensive linemen are in their four-point stance, and I don't know why, but it just kind of turns into a, as long as you don't do anything egregious, we're just going to let this go. Because it's just, it's one of those you could probably call an infraction on every single goal line play. I still haven't seen.
I've got two of them here. Okay, I'll show you this one. There's someone who drew lines.
Yeah, that's okay. that's you're taking it a step too far.
Who, the Eagles?
Yeah, the Eagles.
Yeah, and then there's the aerial that gets to, that's being talked about.
Boy, the guards and the tackles, you're probably fine on that. I mean, again, that's going to be within the margin of error. The center can't have his head over the ball like that. That should be.
Yeah, I just think
that should be
on such a controversial play.
Yeah.
I don't really see why they let
a play that was one vote away from getting thrown out of the season.
I don't see why they let that go. That just makes it that much harder to stop.
It really does. And like you can see like. In these photos, right, we're drawing lines. Look at where the Cowboys, there's three Cowboys with their heads on the line. And again, it's a fictional line.
Yeah.
So I think as a line judge, all you're looking down the line for in these goal line situations is just no one to do anything that's like, oh my God, like I can't let that go. And other than that, you just know that it's going to be a car wreck of a play. And, you know, no one seems to stop it. But I get tired of the tush push thing because time and time again, it's been upheld. So just get over it at this point. Figure out a way to stop it. But it feels like every game that Philly plays is a close game. This becomes a topic of conversation and it ain't going anywhere. And if you wanted it to be gone, the NFL owners would make it.
Yeah. I think there's two different things. I agree with that. But at the same time, if the officials aren't being stringent on that play, that's a separate conversation. I mean, at least if you're going to have the play, okay.
Make it by the
But at least make it fair.
Sure. And I'll be interested to see if the NFL says something about it. Because they're doing when I'm looking at these photos, they're doing the compare and contrast, right? They're doing, okay, this is what it looks like on a normal play, and this is what it looks like in the tush push. But what you're failing to realize, that's cherry picking. Because if you took any goal line situation, right? Third and, you know, not even first and goal from the one, guess what the aerial photo would look like? It would look like the tush push. So if you do want to, if you want to start calling the tush push by this letter of the law, then you really have to start doing it with all goal line plays and all short yardage plays. Because I don't like... Well, I don't like the I'm going to show you a third down snap and then I'm going to show you a tush push snap. Go show me all of the goal line plays, both sides, and see if when Dallas is running goal line and short yardage, if it doesn't look a lot more like the tush push than the other.
I mean, I don't see why they can't just say that across, you know, making an emphasis.
Yeah.
Like, here's one from the Super Bowl, Chiefs and Eagles.
Yeah.
Look at that one.
Yeah, that's bad.
Like, and that's the Chiefs,
that's
not the
Chiefs.
Eagles.
Yeah.
And it looks like it's not even, that's like a first down on like the 35-yard line. But look at where the center's helmet is.
Yeah, and so what he's doing there in these short yardage situations, and that is
that's a first down.
Oh, though. That's a first down?
Yeah, look, yeah. I mean, it's like what? So, like, it's not hard to just say, hey, we're going to emphasize this
well,
now.
And sometimes they do. If the one that bothers me is when they let the tackle move early, Lane Johnson style.
Yeah.
Lane Johnson commits like 17 false start penalties a game, and they let it go. Who was the Chiefs tackle that kept getting flagged for lining up in the backfield? You know, you're not allowed to. Offensive linemen have to be on the line of scrimmage. And what is his name? It escapes me. But that a Chiefs tackle that just...
Was it Juwan, Fisher?
It was Juwan Taylor.
Juwan Taylor.
Juwan Taylor.
Yeah. He just kept lined up in the backfield, and they were like, hey, dude, two steps forward, and he couldn't do it. And so you do get these weird times where the NFL let stuff go, and then they enforce it. And I wonder if maybe this will be one where...
The tush push might get them to say...
The tush push might get them to be like, hey, guys, centers, get the damn ball in front of you. You can't have your head over the ball. And by the way, we're actually going to start enforcing the neutral zone, right? and you might see some linemen come in, the linesmen come in and start kind of...
Back it up.
I mean, they're receivers, right? Anytime a receiver goes out, you'll see him. He turns and he goes to the lineman and he puts his arms out. And
sometimes they check with the...
Yes, they're checking with the linesman. Yeah. They're literally looking at it being like, hey, am I okay?
Yeah.
we may get to a point where D. Lyman and stuff start looking down the line and the guy's going to have to start giving them the yay or nay. Because, yeah, this may bring emphasis to something that normally doesn't get talked about. But some of those photos are, those aren't great.
All right. Cowboys-Eagles, pretty good little ball game. We got Chiefs-Chargers tonight. We'll have more on that coming up. But up next, do you buy what Steve Ballmer is selling?
No.
That is next on The Fan. All right. So here's a follow-up. Primetime follow-up. Hello?
Yes, I am here.
Great. God, I thought you passed out over there.
No.
So Ballmer, the owner of the Clippers, has responded to the Pablo Torre report.
I actually have a little 20-second clip from SportsCenter. Would you like that?
I would, but let me tee this up first. So if you didn't hear us talking about this earlier in the week, this was the situation. Pablo Torre, on his podcast... this was earlier in the week. He came out and said that the Clippers circumvented the salary cap to sign Kawhi Leonard back in 2019. And they did it by partnering. Well, it was like a phony deal with this company called Aspiration, which was a celebrity endorsed tree company.
Yeah.
And so that Aspiration company, which was a sponsor of the Clippers, it was like a $300 million sponsorship deal.
Yeah.
From 2021 to 2023, just filed for bankruptcy. And in the bankruptcy filing, Torre got his hands on all the financials and all the stuff that came out. And Steve Ballmer was an investor in Aspiration, $50 million. And they had Kawhi Leonard on the payroll, and he never did anything for Aspiration, $28 million. And I think they're saying now another $20 million maybe.
Something like that.
So like $48 million.
Yeah, I heard 50, so 48.
Yeah, something like that.
Something like that.
So, okay, so Ballmer and the Clippers released a statement. I'll read you part of that, and then we'll play what he said on ESPN. But the Clippers' statement in response to Pablo Torre's report was, neither the Clippers nor Steve Ballmer circumvented the salary cap. The notion that Steve invested in Aspiration in order to funnel money to Kawhi Leonard is absurd. Steve invested because Aspiration's co-founders presented themselves as committed to doing right by their customers while protecting the environment. After a long campaign of market manipulation, which defrauded not only Steve but numerous other investors and teams, Aspiration filed for bankruptcy. Its co-founder, Joseph Sandberg, recently pleaded guilty to a $243 million fraud case. Yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah.
Neither Steve nor the Clippers had knowledge of any improper activity by Aspiration or its co-founder until after the government initiated its investigation. There is nothing unusual or untoward about team sponsors doing endorsement deals with players on the same team. Neither Steve nor the Clippers had any oversight of Kawhi's independent endorsement agreement with Aspiration. So that's what the Clippers are saying.
Yeah.
And then Ballmer found his way to ESPN.
Mm-hmm.
He got a nice little 15-minute solo sit down with Ramona Shelburne.
Well, and believe me, they're being kind to him, because every one of the ESPN guys, all when this broke, all said the same thing. They were like, first of all, I love Steve Ballmer. I think he's great for the league. He's a great personal friend. But we should look into it. But he's a great, like, they are going to treat this with such kid.
Because ESPN, NBA.
Because ESPN, NBA.
Are in bed together.
Yes, they are all doing the, well, this is turning into a state-run PR campaign.
Well, the other deafening silence is that the most dialed-in insider in the NBA, Shams, hasn't said a word.
And he's at ESPN now, right?
Yes. That's correct.
Yeah. Okay, so here's Ballmer on ESPN, a little bit of Ballmer on ESPN.
We, the Clippers, have abided by the salary cap circumvention rules because that's the right thing to do. And we have done that. I happen, for what it's worth, to think it's a very important rule in terms of promoting competitiveness and equal playing field across the league. But whether I agreed with it or not, it's the rule. And we've absolutely abided by that.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So he's claiming
I was waiting, by the way, for not only is it an important rule, I was waiting for, I'm surprised in my investigation to find out how compliant we really are.
Yeah, you wouldn't believe how compliant we are.
It's unbelievable, guys. I'm telling you. Okay, Steve.
So he is claiming that they signed Kawhi before all this went down with this fake company.
Yeah.
He says he put in $50 million, mm-hmm. but he didn't have any control of the company. He was not the main investor. There was somebody that put in apparently six times more than that.
Yeah.
He did not have a board seat. He had nothing to do with Aspiration other than investment. He then says that the company and Kawhi did their own deal, of which he had no idea the terms.
No.
He's playing dumb on the amount that Kahai got, and he is also playing dumb on why the company would do that with Kawhi, why they would just pay him for nothing. He says the company was fraudulent. He got conned just the same. He lost $50 million in the deal. Yeah. Ramona asked him about that. He said, look, I've made some really good business deals in my life. I have also made some really bad ones. This is a bad one. I'm embarrassed. My team did look over the financials. And Ramona said, because she basically pushed back and said, well, how do you not see in your review of the company that it's fraudulent? He said, well, their financials were fake. And our team looked over it. And I got fooled. So that's what Ballmer is
so
saying.
Again, I'm expected to believe that Kawhi Leonard was about to sign with the Los Angeles Lakers and said, no, I'm not going to sign with the Lakers, and had a bunch of weird, unnecessary demands. And that the Clippers, instead, out of nowhere, signed Kawhi Leonard, were willing to move heaven and earth to go get Paul George because Kawhi Leonard said, you have to do it before I go there, including trading a future MVP. And then a company that just so happened that you invested $50 million in, just coincidence, would shortly thereafter give the player of unreasonable demands who didn't really want to play for you, that wanted to be for the Lakers, but somehow ended up signing with you, gave him a $28 million deal for no apparent reason where he had to do nothing. And there is an employee of said company that went on record saying, don't worry about this $28 million. It's to...
That's the part that was not asked. I mean, Ramona did not ask him about that.
They've got a bookkeeper. Even if you didn't have the bookkeeper, I would love Steve Ballmer to answer. You don't find it at all odd that the company that you invested $50 million in gave almost $30 million, by the way, by far the most any endorser had gotten, more so than Robert Downey Jr., more so than some of the biggest stars in the world who actually had to promote things for this company, but they just magically decided to give Kawhi Leonard, who no one's ever heard speak, they gave him $28 million for no reason, Steve. Oh, and by the way, did you notice in the contract, have you read through any of this?
Any of what?
The Kawhi Leonard's contract, the $28 million?
No.
It does say in there, this is a fun little thing as I dug through it, someone had pointed out and highlighted, one of the stipulations in the $28 million contract, would you care to guess what the poison pill was? If Kawhi Leonard no longer did this, he didn't get the $28 million? Play for the Clippers. If Kawhi Leonard no longer played for the Clippers, guess what happened to the $28 million? Yeah.
So Mark Cuban was on Pablo Torre's podcast today.
Yeah.
Or maybe it was yesterday. I think it was
this morning, yeah.
I'd say what, it was worth a listen. Because I really like Cubes. I think Cubes is a smart guy. And Torre wanted to have him on. They were going back and forth on social media, and he finally said, just come on my damn podcast.
Yeah.
And so they hashed it out, and Cubans, and you can agree with this or not, but here's what Cuban thinks: there's no way Steve Ballmer's this dumb. He's like, dude, but what's weird about that is Ballmer appears dumb because he got hoodwinked so badly by this fake tree company. But I guess that does happen. It happens to smart people all the time. So it doesn't mean you're dumb if you signed a bad business deal with someone. But Cuban said that company, fake as it is, had a $300 million sponsorship deal with the Clippers. Mm-hmm. So they had an interest in the Clippers remaining good.
Oh.
That's what he said. So he said that's why they would pay Kawhi Leonard.
$28 million.
Yeah, that's what Cube said.
And then if he left, he got, I mean.
Because they stole the money. I mean, basically, they stole the money. Right, this company.
Yeah.
So it's a bit like a Ponzi scheme.
Yeah.
They stole the money, then they invested in the Clippers, and so to them, it's no skin off their back to pay Kawhi because it's all stolen money. They just want the Clippers to be good so they can make money off their sponsorship deal. Yeah. Right, like so they're robbing these guys, and it was a fraudulent company. I mean, the guy is going to jail. Yeah. $250 million.
That's a good chunk of change.
But that, I don't know. It's a kind of a fascinating case.
Yeah.
And Torre, he kind of backed off a little bit, but I think he only did that because he was talking with Cuban.
Yeah.
And Cubes was on there saying, you know, Ballmer's not this stupid. So I don't know.
I love that the excuse is he couldn't be this dumb. I'm not certain. I'm really not.
I think they're saying that he could, he would have covered his tracks.
Yeah, we every time someone gets caught red-handed, we always do that. They can't be this dumb. Guess what? Turns out people can be this dumb. I just that excuse drives me bananas. Like, you get caught red-handed doing something, you're like, well, he couldn't be this dumb to leave the paper trail. You're like, well, you just did.
And sometimes there's that, well, who's going to blow the whistle? Who's going to say anything attitude? And it's like, well, somebody who gets their hands on it, that's who.
I would also like them to explain away the bookkeeper literally saying, yeah, we were told don't worry about the $28 million. That's for Kawhi. That's the workaround. Explain it away.
Well, the latest is
like that exact language.
Yes. I'm not paraphrasing. That is what they said. Of course, now we're going to get the fake news. You can get anyone to say anything.
So the latest is that Pablo Torre, or the NBA, is investigating, and they have hired the same company that investigated Donald Sterling and Robert Sarver.
Okay.
And both of those guys
got
in some pretty hot water with the NBA. So we'll see what comes of it.
Yeah.
That's where we're at.
I think it helps that Steve Ballmer is the richest man in that league, but we'll see.
All right, coming up next, let's take a look at the top college football games of the weekend.
There's not many.
On the Fan.